إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد أرحب بكم جميعا once again I welcome all of you in this class, this lecture actually on Friday night here at Masjid al-Tawheed. اخترنا لكم اليوم موضوعا أو هذه الليلة موضوعا ذا أهمية بالغة لأحد مشايخنا وهو العلامة الشيخ المحدث الوالد عبد المحسن ابن حمد العباد البدر حفظه الله تعالى والموضوع هو أثر العبادات في حياة المسلم. The topic we want to deal with tonight inshallah ta'ala and tomorrow and maybe Sunday night as well if we can finish it by tomorrow, the effects of acts of worship in the life of the Muslim. By our noble Shaykh al-Walid al-Allama al-Muhaddith Abd al-Muhsin ibn Hamad al-Abbad al-Badr hafidahullah. Just to give you a brief biography from what I remember, I'm not reading from a paper, but just from something that I have read in what the Shaykh said about himself. That the Shaykh hafidahullah ta'ala, right now he's in his early 80s, if he's not 80 or 81 years old. And he's still very much active in teaching. He's been teaching for over 25 years now in regular classes at the Masjid of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, al-Masjid al-Nabawi. Of course, in these long years, he has finished many books. Sahih al-Bukhari, all of it. All the volumes. Sahih Muslim, Abu Dawood, Sunan al-Nasa'i, and Jami' al-Tirmidhi. And now he's doing al-Bukhari again. Hafidhahullah. Imagine those people who were with him for all these years, they have benefited tremendously. And these classes here at the masjid is like from Friday night until Wednesday night. And from those who know the Shaykh, is rare when he skip a class. Is rare. Is rare when he miss a class. And when he miss a class or he has something really, really to do, he will tell the people that I'm not going to be here next Friday, for example, and he will make it up for them. Subhanallah. And these classes that he was given, he gave them according to the schedule of the schools over there. And he mentioned the reason himself, hafidahullah, why he does it this way, because many of his students, they go to the university, the Islamic University of Medina. So when on breaks, when they have vacations, the Shaykh doesn't give these regular classes. Because on vacations, those students, they travel. Those who come to see their loved ones or whatever, they go to their countries, because as you see, the Islamic University in Medina has Saudis, but also has many, many other nationalities from all over the world, actually. Africa, Asia, Europe, America, North America, South America, Canada, from all over. So the Shaykh, he takes that in consideration, hafidahullah, and he stopped those classes, but then he does other classes. It's not like he just stopped classes, don't teach. No, he keep teaching on the same nights, like in the summer vacation, or during Hajj, or in Ramadan, but he will teach something else. Other books of Aqidah, Talatul Usul, Kitab al-Tawheed, Tahawiyyah, Akhlaq, Manners, Tafsir. That's why he has so much work, walhamdulillah, that he has benefited the Ummah with. From his main teachers is Shaykh bin Baz, Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. Actually, when the Jami' al-Islamiyah has opened some 60 years ago, maybe a little bit more, Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah, he was the head of it. And the vice president, if we can call it like that, was Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, hafidahullah. Likewise, from his main teachers is Shaykh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shangiti, sahib Adwa al-Bayan, the famous tafsir, and Shaykh Omar Falata, amongst many others. From his students, many students, like Shaykh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, he's one of his students, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Hadi, Shaykh Saleh al-Suhaymi is from his students, amongst many others. And the Shaykh is known with his modesty, and he wants good for the people. And so modest, because in the end of that brief biography he gave about himself, in the end of it he mentioned, he says, and as for what is mentioned on the internet, in some papers they talk about my ibadat and my zuhd and this and this, he says, none of that is true. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. Somebody perhaps, they know the Shaykh, they went and wrote the Shaykh, alhamdulillah, tahajjud, this, sadaqah. The Shaykh says, none of that is taken in consideration, okay? Allahu Akbar. So the Shaykh is still alive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him and preserve him. Amen. And give him a good ending. And continue to increase him in knowledge and firmness upon the sunnah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue to benefit from his work. And I am reading to you here from this volume, number 6, Kutub wa Rasail Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad al-Badr. Like 14 volumes, it was given by the Shaykh as gifts to students of knowledge and the like. Alhamdulillah, I received a copy a couple years ago, alhamdulillah. It was maybe last year actually. Or the year before that. And these are like volumes that have all, they gather all of the kutub wa rasail, all of the books and the things and the work of the Shaykh, all of those, it is gathered in here. Okay? And therefore, I'm going to read to you from this volume 6 of our beloved Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, hafidahullah, Athar al-Ibadati fi Hayat al-Muslim. And subhanAllah, it's amazing that actually this talk I'm giving you, I'm going to read to you and we share with you, actually is based on actually a lecture that the Shaykh gave on the phone here in America. I don't know who he gave it to, but that's what he says over here. Muhadara alqaha abr al-hatif Abd al-Muhsin bin Hamad al-Abbad al-Badr fi Jam'iyya Islamiyya fi America. This is actually based on a talk that the Shaykh has given on the phone. Here, people call him from America. I don't know who, because it doesn't mention. Alhamdulillah, and we're going to benefit from it here in America, inshallah. Actually, I didn't pay attention to it until I was like reading, and I liked what the Shaykh was saying. After when I was reading, then I looked again, and I said that. I said, subhanAllah. So I didn't choose it because it was given to America, no. Choose it because of the importance of the topic, the effects of worship and actions of worship that we perform in our lives. قال فأقول أولا العبادة اسم جامع لكل ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الأقوال والأعمال الظاهرة والباطنة. First of all, the Shaykh, he says, he's going to give a definition to this term ibadah, because the impact and the effects of ibadah in the life of the Muslim, first of all, he gave a definition of ibadah. What is ibadah? What is worship? He says, al-ibadatu ismun jami'un. worship, ibadah, which is worship, is a comprehensive term that includes all that which Allah loves and is pleased with. Ibadah, worship, is a comprehensive term that includes all what Allah loves and is pleased with from statements and actions. Those who are manifest in public or those who are hidden. قال وهذا هو أحسن ما قيل في تعريف العبادة. He says this is the best definition from many other definitions pertaining to the ibadah. This is the best of all definitions that was given to this term ibadah, worship. قال الشيخ حفظه الله وللعبادة أهمية عظمى. He says ibadah, worship, has a great importance. وذلك أن الله عز وجل خلق الخلق وأرسل الرسل وأنزل الكتب للأمر بعبادته والنهي عن عبادة غيره. The Sheikh says that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the creation and has sent the messengers and has revealed books with this command, so that He alone should be worshipped. And also that it is prohibited to worship other than Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي سُورَةِ الذَّارِيَاتِ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn or mankind, the human, except to worship me. قال الشيخ حفظه الله أي خلقهم الله لأمرهم بعبادته ونهيهم عن معصيته. So this means that Allah created them, the jinn and the human being. Allah created them and commanded them to worship Him alone. It is a command for them, for the jinn and the human being, that they should worship Allah alone and they should avoid disobeying Him, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also the Shaykh wrote the ayah in Surah An-Nahl, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. And indeed we have sent amongst every nation a messenger saying to his people, worship Allah alone and avoid ta'ghut, the false deities, and anything that has been taken as an object of worship. And if it's a human being, then it's called ta'ghut if he's pleased with that. If he's pleased that the people worship him beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. Sometimes I'm not going to mention the surah and the ayah so that we can teach you a little bit to depend on yourself. So that inshaAllah ta'ala, طيب, so we make some efforts. Based on the ayah, you go and find it in the mushaf. طيب. InshaAllah ta'ala. Because if we give you everything ready, man, you know, this deen ain't no fried chicken, you know. Everything is right there, 15 minutes, get it out of the basket, is ready. No. Gotta make some efforts. Alright? So we give you some ayat sometimes, we give you some but then sometimes we don't. We give you the ayat, but then inshaAllah ta'ala, try your best to find it. Wallahi, there is a lot of benefits. Now you're gonna go look for this ayat, and you may be looking, and subhanAllah, it's amazing. You may read the whole Quran, or half of it. And while you're looking for the ayah, you'll be reading and you'll be amazed. You'll be look, oh, you're going to find so many other ayahs that you heard in the khutbah, that you heard in another class, and you'll be looking for them. I'm going to open a window right here and share with you something. That Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, to great Muhaddid Sheikh Al-Albani. Somebody asked Sheikh Al-Albani to look at the tahqiq of this book. As the Sheikh, he was doing that, and he was reading, and he was looking at other books to see if that nuskha, that copy, goes with those. One of the books, it was a missing a paper, like this. What do you call it? It's a paper, right? That's a page. These are two pages. All right, that's what I'm saying. That's why I say this is a paper. You call this a page too? That has two sides. All right. So it was missing. The Sheikh, he looked, he couldn't find it in the book. He went to the guy who worked over there at the desk. He says, listen, one book, you got a page of two sides missing. All right? One paper is missing, one page. All right? The man, he just worked there. He says, Sheikh, I don't know. Did you look at the book? Look around the book? The Sheikh says, that's it, I got you. So the Sheikh, he says, listen, I have to find it by myself. And the Sheikh, he went, and he says, okay, maybe somebody found it around here and put it in any of these books. So he read all, he began to look like this. But then something, Allah gave him the tawfiq, and he says, I'm looking for this paper, so let me read these books. I'm opening them. He started reading them. And while he's reading them, he's taking notes. Benefits, whenever. Look, he's looking for one page. Now he's taking notes. He finished all those books in that section. Then he says, maybe I didn't look right. He read them again. Then he says, maybe somebody could have put it in any books of this maktaba filled of books. He read them. That's the Shaykh, subhanAllah, it's amazing what they said about him, that he was so diligent in reading books that the people, he used to come early to wait for the maktaba, the library, to open in Damascus. So much, every day. The workers that come over there, they see him. That this man is always the first man waiting. And he be the last one until they said to him, listen, man, we're waiting for you, man. He's like, a little bit. They're like, man, we gave you an hour already. We got to go home. Finally, they gave him a key. Allahu Akbar. They see him so studious, they give him a key, akhi. La ilaha illallah. Anyway, the point we're making, that they says that the Shaykh, a lot of benefits that you see in his book, subhanAllah, he was from that, looking for one page. Years ago, maybe 20 years later or something, they found that page. But after that, that page that is missing was the cause. It was a mean that the Shaykh reads so many books. So sometimes you be looking for one hadith, but you don't know where it is. So you start looking in Sahih al-Bukhari. Sometimes you be amazed and you forget what you're looking for. Why? Because you're so amazed now, you're reading so many narrations. And the ulama, they tell us, if you read any book, make it a habit. Have a notebook and a pen or a pencil. And whenever you see something that you like and something that draw your attention, okay, write it down. The book, this is from this book, is page such and such. Hey, mashallah. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has some books less like that, the fawaid. Whenever he read, he writes something, and he compiled books like that. Also, the Shaykh, he mentioned this ayah, as we mentioned, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. And we have not sent before you a messenger except that we reveal to him that I am, that there is no deity worthy of worship except me, so therefore worship me. Then the Shaykh says, well, ibadah to anwa'un kathira. He says, the ibadah is many types. The ibadah worship is different types. Minha al-khawf wal-raja' والتوكل والرغبة والرهبة والإنابة والاستعانة والاستغاثة والذبح والنذر وغير ذلك من أنواع العبادة. He says from this actions of worship, as an example, he mentioned خوف. I'll give you the translations that I get from the translation of Thalathat Usul. Because you know we have this book, Thalathat Usul, an explanation by Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, on Tuesday nights. And actually, we just finished from this one a couple of weeks ago. Al-Khawf, reverential fear. Al-Tawakkul, trust and reliance. Al-Raghba, fervent desire. Al-Rahba, dread. D-R-E-A-D. Al-Inaba, turning to Allah repentantly. Al-Isti'ana, appealing for aid and assistance. Al-Istighatha, seeking deliverance and rescue. Al-Dhabh, sacrificing. Another, oaths and vows. The Shaykh didn't go and mention the meanings, or he explained any of this. That's why I will refer you to the Thalathat Usul, the explanation of the three fundamental principles of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, the explanation of our beloved Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. قال ومن العبادات أركان الإسلام وهي التي اشتمل عليها حديث جبريل المشهور حيث سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الإسلام. Likewise, from actions of worship is the pillars of Islam. The pillars of Islam. These are pillars are found in the hadith of Jibreel, the famous hadith of Jibreel. Once again, we still study in that hadith in the classes on Sundays here at Masjid al-Tawheed. Alhamdulillah. The explanation of the 40 hadith of al-Nawawi, the explanation of our beloved Shaykh al-Doktor Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah ta'ala. In that famous hadith, hadith of Jibreel, when he came in a form of a man and sat in front of the Prophet ﷺ in a manner that a student of knowledge sit in front of a teacher, and he asked the Prophet ﷺ about Islam. أخبرني عن الإسلام. Inform me about Islam. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. أخرجه مسلم في صحيحه من حديث عمر رضي الله عنه وهو أول حديث عنده أي عند مسلم في كتاب الإيمان رقم 8. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, Islam is that you bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And that you establish the prayer and to pay the zakat, to fast in the month of Ramadan, and to make the hajj to the house of Allah if you have the ability to do so. And this hadith is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih on the authority of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. This is the first hadith in section of Iman, his book of Iman, hadith number 8. وجاءت هذه الأركان كذلك يقول الشيخ في حديث عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما حيث قال عليه الصلاة والسلام بني الإسلام على 5: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وحج البيت وصوم رمضان وهو أول حديث عند البخاري في كتاب الإيمان رقم 8 وهو في صحيح مسلم رقم 19. Likewise, these narrations or these pillars of Islam, they are found in another hadith. This time is narrated by the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, Abdullah, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma, yani Abdullah and his father Umar radiallahu anhuma. In that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam is built upon 5. To bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To establish the prayer, to pay the zakat, to perform the hajj. Here, Quddim al-hajj an isam. In this narration, hajj came first. To make hajj and to fast in the month of Ramadan. And this is the first hadith in Kitab al-Iman, Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith number 8. And in Sahih Muslim, it is hadith number 19. قال الشيخ حفظه الله شيخنا الوالد عبد المحسن البدر ثم إن العبادة لا بد في قبولها من شرطين أحدهما الإخلاص العمل لله والثاني تجريد المتابعة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then the Sheikh says now عبادة worship. For it to be accepted, of course, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two conditions has to be fulfilled. And this is very important. He says for ibadah, worship, these actions of worship that we practice and we perform as Muslims, walhamdulillah, ala ni'matillah, for these actions of worship to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two conditions has to be fulfilled. One of them, that those actions of worship has to be performed for Allah alone. Ikhlas, sincerity. Person has to be sincere, not doing it for somebody else, or to show off, or to be praised and thanked by the people. La. You do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second condition, that he has to be in accordance to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not 50-50. 50 according to the sunnah, 50 according to some tribe or some country. No. 100% he has to be in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ulama, in some of their books, they mention a third condition. But this condition actually, it is something that you should know. Somebody know? MashaAllah. Na'am? Ahsan. Na'am, Abdul Karim. Now we just mentioned sincerity. He said it. Abdul Rahim said it. Na'am. Correct aqeedah. Sihhatul i'tiqad. Person have to have a sound creed. Sound belief. If a person doesn't have correct aqidah, even if he's mukhlis and doing according to sunnah, he's not going to be accepted. لأن العقيدة مهمة. كما قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله العقيدة هي الأساس الذي تبنى عليه جميع الأعمال صحة وفسادة. The creed is the foundation that all of the deeds are built upon as to whether they are sound or not. The aqidah. Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan. Sihhatu al-i'tiqad. So the creed has to be sound. قال فلا بد من تجريد الإخلاص لله وحده فلا يشرك مع الله غيره ولا يصرف من أنواع العبادة شيء لغير الله سبحانه وتعالى. So therefore, for the actions of worship to be accepted, you got to be sincere and perform all actions sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sincerely for Allah. You do not associate with Allah anyone or anything in worship, in that worship. That worship has to be done sincerely for Allah. And likewise, no act of worship should be devoted for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All types of worship has to be performed for Allah alone. وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ تَجْرِيدِ الْمُتَابَعَةِ لِلْرَسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Likewise, he says, you gotta follow the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. When it comes to applying this ibadat, now, to whom you praying, to whom you doing this ibadat, doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely for Allah. Idris, stop it. So you're doing it for Allah, sincerely for Allah. How you doing it now? That's very important too. Why you're doing it? You're doing it to please Allah, ikhlas, sincerity. How you doing it? Not any way. No, the way that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left for us. فَلَا يُعْبَدُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا وَفْقًا لِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولُ الْكَرِيمُ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Hafizahu Ta'ala says, so therefore, a person should worship Allah only in accordance to what the Messenger, this noble Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we now understand from this that a person has to learn the Sunnah. Al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal, as an Imam al-Bukhari mentioned in his Sahih, knowledge precedes statements and actions. Any action of worship, you want to make wudu, you're going to learn how the Prophet ﷺ did it. Getting wet is one thing, but performing wudu correctly, that's maybe two different things. And you want to pray, you're going to pray in accordance to the Sunnah. You learn. Pay the zakat, you learn the Sunnah. You want to fast, you fast according to the Sunnah. The Hajj, likewise. Marriage, divorce, everything. Selling, business, transactions, renting a house, signing a contract, all of these things is in accordance to the Sunnah. You want to do it the right way? There's no other way except the way of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال وهذا هو مقتدى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. He says this is actually the meaning of and the prerequisites of La ilaha illallah. That's how we apply the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What the Shaykh was saying right now is that he says this is exactly the applications of the meaning of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? قال لأن مقتدى أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله إخلاص العمل لله وحده فلا يصرف شيء من أنواع العبادة لغيره بل تكون العبادات كلها خالصة لوجهه سبحانه وتعالى. He says the application of لا إله إلا الله. When a person said أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, I bear witness that no one, nothing has the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah. What is the application of this statement? إخلاص. That's what he means. When a person said, I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, meaning I'm sincerely devoting my worship to Allah. All my actions are for Allah. So nothing of the actions of worship is to be devoted for other than Allah. Rather, all of the actions of worship are performed sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. ومقتدى أشهد أن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تكون العبادة وفقا لما جاء عن الرسول الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now the application of the testimony when somebody says I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, like we do alhamdulillah, we bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. What is the application of that? The application of that, when you say, I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the meaning is as though you are saying, I'm not going to do any act of worship unless it's in accordance to what the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left us, for us. فَلَا يُعْبَدُ اللَّهُ بِالْبِدَعْ وَالْمُحْدَثَاتِ وَالْمُنْكَرَاتِ التي ما أنزل الله تعالى بها من سلطان. The Shaykh says, so therefore Allah is not worshipped through innovations. You worship Allah through innovations? No, through the Sunnah. Allah is not worshipped through newly invented matters. People get together and come up with a new way to make dua. New way to, I don't know, to celebrate this or that, or this birthday or that. People come up with ideas. Now when you come to the deen, there is no inventions in the deen. He says, Allah is not worshipped through innovations, newly invented matters, and through evil actions. that has no dalil whatsoever. These innovations and the things that some people are falling into, they are not supported by a dalil, any proof, whether from the Quran or from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. فَلَا يُعْبَدُ اللَّهُ بِهَذِهِ الطَّرِيقَ بَلْ تَكُونُ الْعِبَادَ وِفْقًا لِلسُنَّةِ وَلِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولُ الْكَرِيمُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Rather, ibadah is performed in accordance to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Any act of worship, before you do it, learn. This is how it's going to be accepted. Because if a person, even if a person is sincere, because sincerity is the action of the heart. That's the action of the heart. You don't know what's in my heart, and I don't know what's in yours. But Allah knows. A person may be sincere, but he's not doing it according to the Sunnah. That's a bad thing. Somebody may do it according to the Sunnah, but he's not sincere. That's still a bad thing. There is only one way. You do it according to the Sunnah and sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How you know that your action is according to the Sunnah? If you learn what is the Sunnah. Before you do anything, you learn what is the Sunnah in this. How you do this one. And then you do it. Doesn't matter what other people around you are doing. No, you're doing it because you know this is the Sunnah. And you hold on firm to it. Even if you may be the only one, or you only one amongst few people who are acting upon the Sunnah in the middle of so many people who are not doing the Sunnah, doesn't matter. As long as you learn that this is the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, you hold on firm to it. I'm going to read to you from the page, because now I'm in the page 190, but I'm going to go back to the same book in the page 178. There is something that the Shaykh has mentioned that he go along with what we're talking about. He says, لا يعبد الله إلا بما شرع الله في كتابه أو سنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah should not be worshipped except with that which Allah has legislated in His book, the Quran, or in the Sunnah of His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then the Shaykh mentioned two ayats. The first ayah in Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 7, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatsoever the Messenger of Allah give you, take it. He command you, act upon it. Whatever He forbade you, stay away from it. Stay away from it. This is the deen of Allah. And Allah revealed the book to one man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and commanded all of the jinn and the human being to obey this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obeying him is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disobeying him is disobedience to Allah who sent him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentioned the other ayah, which is a homework number 2. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. This is a famous ayah. Okay, who knows what it is? نعم. Surah Al-Kahf. Which ayah?
The last ayah.
أحسنتم. بارك الله. And what about the other one before? No, not this one. The homework, number 1. All right, mashallah. Don't worry about it now. That's homework at home. You're in the masjid now. It's not masjid work. Homework. Right? Right. We read the translation. In this ayah, the last ayah of Surah Al-Kahf, ayah 110. Say, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am only a man like you. It has been revealed to me that your Ilah, your God, is one true God, Allah. So whoever hopes for the meeting with his Lord, let him work righteousness and associate none as a partner in the worship of his Lord. Pay attention to this one. Let him work righteousness and associate none as a partner in the worship of his Lord. قال الشيخ قال ابن كثير عند تفسير هذه الآية. So Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, حفظه تعالى, he mentioned the tafsir. Here he mentioned the statement of Ibn Kathir, the great scholar of Al-Islam. In the tafsir of this ayah, he says, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, let him work righteousness, أي ما كان مُوَافِقًا لِشَرْعِ اللَّهِ. How you know our action is righteous? If it's in accordance to the legislation of Allah. That's a righteous action. Not just because a person doing it, crying or this or that, sit there for a long time or... No. If it's in accordance to what Allah has legislated, that's righteous. أي ما كان موافقا لشرع الله. قال ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا, and associate none as a partner in the worship of his Lord. قال هو الذي يراد به وجه الله وحده ولا شريك له. Meaning, he's doing this action for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone without partners. وهذان ركن العمل المتقبل. And these are the two conditions for the acceptance of an act of worship. لابد أن يكون خالصا لله صوابا على شريعة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is a must that that act of worship has to be done sincerely for Allah and right. And how we know he's right? If it's in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll take you back to the, insha'Allah ta'ala, to the other talk. قال والحاصل أن مقتدى أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله إخلاص العمل لله. ومقتدى أشهد أن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تجريد المتابعة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Shaykh says the summary of this is that the application of La ilaha illallah is ikhlas. Sincerity in all actions of worship. That a person has to be sincere. Doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for possession, not for worldly gain. Okay? Not to be praised. We have, there is some texts, narrations and ayats, which, subhanAllah, mentioned the punishment of certain people who they did some actions which, in the eye of the people, there was very, very good actions, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was nothing. Those people actually went in the hellfire. Because of ikhlas, sincerity. And the application of Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When somebody say that Muhammad, he bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, تجريد المتابعة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. When you come to this deen, you gotta follow the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He alone to be followed when you come to the deen of Allah. And then if somebody else following the sunnah, now you take from them. But if somebody tell you, oh yeah, the sunnah, but listen, this work too. You work too? This is the deen of Allah. Allah didn't send you to come and say, now this work too. Like you find in the Sufiya, some of their so-called Mawlana, their Mawlanas, some of their famous ones, they told them, listen man, don't worry about all that. We get you to the Jannah. Just follow me. A'udhu billah. Just do it our way, it doesn't matter. We get you. If you're in trouble, Yawm al-Qiyamah, it's on us. Can somebody really take that risk after all of the ayats and the ahadith? قال فلا بد في أي عمل من الأعمال أن يكون لله خالصا وأن يكون لسنة نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم موافقا ومطابقا. He says, it is a must in every act of worship. It has to be done sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet. He has to match the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam ya akhi, tafaddal, adhin, barakallahu fi. نعم. قال الشيخ حفظه الله: فلا بد في أي عمل من الأعمال أن يكون لله خالصا وأن يكون لسنة نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم موافقا ومطابقا. فنحن سنسأل عباد الله، ولا ينفعنا إلا الإخلاص لله سبحانه وتعالى، وأن تكون أعمالنا كلها وفق سنة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is a must for any act of worship to be performed sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And keep in mind, every one of us, we're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to be asked. So it's very important for us. We don't delay, we don't just do things because other people are doing it. But we have to do some search. We research. As al-Imam, because on that day, no excuse. A person is around ilm, around knowledge. He hears it in the khutbah, these classes, books, internet, subhanAllah, especially in our times. It's not like 100 years ago, if somebody lived in some village and there is no scholars, no students of knowledge, and that person cannot travel, you know, 3 months on foot, and he can't, mashallah. Akhwan, we live in a time, subhanallah, knowledge has been made easy by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. Yes, keep in mind, the best way is to go to the ulama and sit with them and learn from them. But still now, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, amongst many of the mashayikh, Shaykh ibn Baz and others, he says, yes, that's the best way to go to the ulama and sit. But if you can't, for whatever reason, yes, you may have it in your plan, but why you waiting for that to be accomplished? But you can start learning the deen. There are books that are translated, there are CDs, MP3s, the internet, there are the books of the ulama. Find a masjid in your area that is upon the sunnah. If there is not in your area, move closer to one. No, why? People, they move to closer to a better job, right or wrong? He's making $10, but another job offering $15. He said, listen, pack, we're moving for $5. He don't know if he may get fired after 3 weeks, but he's going. Now there is a place when you can learn, alhamdulillah, the sunnah and this. You got to make that move too. Why can't you make that move? You make that move so that you can be with the people, your brothers in Islam, that they want to be upon righteousness. Inshallah ta'ala, may Allah make us from the Mameen. Because Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in Sharh al-Sunnah, the point number 4. Why I remember, because there was a class yesterday in Masjid al-Salam, alhamdulillah. That's why I remember, I don't memorize the book. But see, that's the importance, alhamdulillah, the benefits of giving classes, getting involved in classes. You know, these classes, me, I benefit a lot from them, alhamdulillah. That's a ni'mah from Allah for me. that I conduct classes and I read to you, and they are very high benefit. So that's why I remember this is a class. As I see some brothers, alhamdulillah, now they're walking in, they were in that class yesterday. They just come in from far, alhamdulillah. They came a little bit late, but mashallah, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward them for their intentions. But alhamdulillah, in that point number four, he mentioned the statement of Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar. And actually a brother sent me a text message a couple of days ago. And jazakallah khair, and that brother, what he does in those text messages, he sent the points of Al-Imam Al-Barbahar, point by point. And that helped me a lot, mashallah, if I can find him. It helped me a lot, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to find those... Anyway, in that he says, قَالَ عُمَرُ الْخَطَّابُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لَا عُذْرَ لَا عُذْرَ لِأَحَدٍ اتَّبَعَ ضَلَالَةً حَسِبَهَا هُدَى أو تَرَكَ هُدًى حَسِبَهَا ضَلَالَةً أو كَمَا قَال. He says that there is no excuse, Umar radiallahu anhu says, there is no excuse for a person who follow misguidance. He taught it to be a guidance. Okay? He taught that to be a guidance. Or he left off a guidance, a righteous action, thinking it to be misguidance. Since the affairs have been made clear. The affairs has been made clear in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, because he has explanation, that's what we read in those in Masjid As-Salam. We read from those books, from that book. Is that, he says, if the matters are clear now in the Quran and the Sunnah, so no, there is no excuse for somebody to abandon a sunnah thinking it to be misguidance. Or somebody who's following misguidance, he's upon misguidance, but he thinks that he's upon guidance. Why? He says, because the things are being made clear. What is the problem? He says, that person, negligence. That person is not making efforts to learn. هذا مفرط لا يبحث عن الخير لا يسأل العلماء. So this person, he's just following whatever is in his area, in his neighborhood, in his tribe, his people are upon. But he never asked himself, wait a minute, this is the deen of Allah. What my people are doing and I'm supposed to follow them. Is this the right thing? How would he find if this is the right thing or no? If he check with the Quran and the Sunnah. Take those matters to the Quran and to the Sunnah. Whatever agreed, then alhamdulillah, it is from the deen. If some practice, even the whole tribe are practicing it, his family members, maybe his own parents, if they are not from the deen of Allah, he should leave them alone. So he says, so therefore there is no excuse based on this. If the deen has been made clear, people, they have to make efforts and learn the deen of Allah from its proper sources. The Quran and the sound Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with the correct understanding of As-Salaf As-Salih, the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the first place. قال الشيخ عبد المحسن حفظه الله فإذا اختل أحد هذين الشرطين بأن فقد الإخلاص أو فقدت المتابعة أو فقد معا فإن العمل مردود على صاحبه ولا يقبل عند الله عز وجل. He says, if one of these two conditions, which is sincerity and following the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, if one of them is deficient, or ikhlas is missing, person doesn't action, no ikhlas in it, or the mutaba'ah to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ is missing, or both of them, somebody may does action, no sincerity and no sunnah, wal'iyadu billah, none of that, no ikhlas, no sunnah. He says that action is rejected. It's not accepted from that person. and is not accepted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال تعالى في بيان رد العمل بسبب عدم الإخلاص وقدمنا إلى ما عملوا من عمل فجعلناه هباء منثورا سورة الفرقان verse 23. And we shall turn to whatever deeds they, the disbelievers, polytheists and sinners did, and we shall make such deeds as scattered floating particles of dust. والعياذ بالله. وقال الرسول الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيان رد العمل إذا كان مبنيا على بدعة من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. رواه البخاري ومسلم من حديث عائشة رضي الله عنها. Also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith that is collected by الإمام البخاري والإمام مسلم on the authority of عائشة رضي الله عنها mentioning clearly that an action of worship is rejected if it is built upon innovation. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, whoever introduced to our affairs, meaning that which we're upon, this religion, that which is not from it, it will be rejected. وفي صحيح مسلم من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها. And in صحيح مسلم, on the authority of عائشة رضي الله عنها as well, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, whoever does an action, perform an action, that is not in accordance to that which we're upon, it is not from the deen of Allah, therefore, it is rejected by Allah سبحانه وتعالى. ولعل في هذا القدر كفاية اليوم هذه الليلة إن شاء الله تعالى. أسأل الله لي ولكم التوفيق والسداد في القول والعمل. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى الإخلاص في القول والعمل. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعل أقوالنا وأعمالنا خالصة لوجهه سبحانه وتعالى موافقة ومطابقة لسنة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. We continue ان شاء الله تعالى tomorrow night at the same time ان شاء الله تعالى.